Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
I'd like for you to open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. And in fact, I want to read two or three passages of Scripture as we launch into this lesson. And so I'll give you time to turn to them. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll get started. It's great to see you back this evening. I want to start in verse 19. There's a warm and special relationship between the older preacher Paul and the young preacher Timothy. And you get some sense of that in Philippians 2, beginning in 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know this, you know his, Timothy's, proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Now, before Paul died, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 now. Before Paul died, he gave one final charge to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to start in the first verse. It is a sacred charge. It is the most important charge. It's fortified with the name of the Lord and with the judgment day in front of him. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he puts the judgment day in there. Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Wanted him to preach the truth, preach the word. What does that look like? What would that sound like? Now I want you to go over to Acts chapter 8 with me. Acts 8. I want to start in verse 4. What does it mean to preach the word? Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Preaching the word means preaching Christ. Drop down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, that's the church. So preaching the word means preaching Christ, and it means preaching the kingdom or the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So preaching the word means also preaching baptism. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Drop down to 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus unto him. So preaching the word would include all of these things. Sometimes people say, and maybe you have said, Jesus changed my life. He's changed my life. Well, I mean, that's true about me. What do you mean by that? And how was that accomplished? How did that happen? And the answer is that if Jesus truly changed your life, he did it by the word. This preaching of the word described here, this charge that Paul gives to Timothy, elevates the word. When I was in Fried Hardeman in school, I was taking a values class, which was pretty interesting. You had to be a senior to take that class, as I recall. And one day the teacher said, your dorm room is your house. And your house is on fire. And you have time. I'm going to give you, I don't know what it was, 5 minutes or something. You get back to your dorm and that thing's on fire. And you have enough time to get in, go in one time and get what's the most important thing to you and bring it back here. Ready? Go. And it was to test your values. What is it that's very valuable to you, most important to you? I recall that one of the girls in the class brought her roommate back and in her pajamas, and anyway. But he offered this caveat before he launched us. He said, now, I don't want you to bring your Bibles. And he explained, because if I don't say that, I think most everybody will pick up their Bibles and bring them, because that would be the most important thing. I want to talk about the power of the Word today and tonight. And this is, and I'm going to go through a list of 12 things that the Bible or the Scriptures say about the Word. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, and it described what that means in Acts chapter 8. But I'm going to go, I don't have time to spend a lot of time on each of these, so we're just going to touch on each. But I want to impress you with the power of the Word of God. And when you say that Jesus has changed my life, we go through these and you'll understand that that is all attached to how he does it, and how he does it is through the Word. All right. Number one, I'm born. I was born because of the Word of God. Here's 1 Corinthians 4:15. I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, begotten is not a word that we use very much, but you know what it means. It is the birthing process. I was born. You remember John chapter 3, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused about, how can that be? How can a man enter his mother's womb and be born the second time? No, I'm talking about born again. I'm talking about being born of water and the Spirit. The Spirit teaches us how to obey the gospel, and the water is baptism. But we're born again. This emphasizes that I am born by the Word of God. Here's James 1:18. He brought us forth by the Word of God. Now, you might read that and pass over it, but the word forth, I looked it up. The Greek word for forth means a similar thing to begotten. It is the birthing process. He brought us forth. It's another way to say, I was born by the Word of God. So what about 1 Peter 1:23? Having been born again, watch this now. He's using an analogy with seed that you would plant in your garden, and the Bible that you plant in your heart. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. He said, so all that's in the world, he says, the glory of man, he said, it's like the grass of the field, and the grass of the field, it dries up, and the flower thereof falls away. But the Word of God abides forever, and this is the Word which is preached to you by the gospel. I'm born again by the Word. What's the power of the Word? The Bible. The power is that I am born by it. Now, here's the second thing. On the heels of it, I'm made alive by it. I am made alive by the Word of God. Now, this is Psalm 119. This is my, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. For your Word has given me life. I'm alive in this world. You know, somebody said, a poet said that we don't live until we have a cause for which we're willing to die. This would say that I found life through Jesus Christ, and I found it by studying the Word. Here's Psalm 119, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm alive by it, by the Word. Now, Jesus picks up on this in John 6 and verse 63. It's the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. All right? What's the power of the Word? I'm alive by it. Three, I have faith because of it. Now, this is familiar to you, Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Got faith in God. Where'd it come from? Came by hearing the Word. Is that important? Oh, it's very important. Hebrews 11 and 6, faith is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I can't please God without faith. Where'd you get your faith? I got it from the Word. Four, I'm converted by it. Now, what does it mean to be converted? Now, we use it typically to mean changing from perhaps from one religion to another, or maybe not being religious at all, but you become a Christian and you are converted. The word converted is not so dissimilar from repenting, in that repentance means to change your mind. I went to research the Greek word on this because I found it very interesting. And when Strong's talks about it, he adds this line in here, to be fetched home again. Isn't that interesting? To be fetched home again. And apparently the principle, the idea that he says is inherent in this word is that there was a time when before sin entered my life, when I was right with God, I was a child and I was growing through those years, and then sin entered my life and I've strayed away. Is there somebody in this room right now who needs to be fetched home again? The word for that would be, an appropriate word would be, converted. I'm converted. And so Psalm 19:7 says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You say, I came to him. I was walking in this direction. It was the wrong direction. Now I'm walking in the right direction. I was converted to Christ. How's that happen? It happens by the word of God. Number five, I'm sanctified. Sanctified. Now, you may remember the definition that we typically use is that to be sanctified is to be set apart for holy purposes. That's good. When I become a Christian, I need to become altogether a Christian. That is, that it affects everything that I do, everything in my life. You don't think about Christianity being something that affects part of my life, and I come to worship on Sunday, and that's not it. It's a lifestyle. A Christianity, true Christianity, is a lifestyle. And the word that is appropriate for that is sanctified. So, before he died, not long before he died, in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's how we're sanctified. How do you get set apart for holy purposes? By studying the word of God. Now here's Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he says this, that he might sanctify it, the church, by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church, like the bride of Christ, as the bride of Christ, is sanctified by the word. There's the power of the word again. All right. Six, I'm cleaned by it. I'm cleaned by it. John 15:3, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls, how did you do that? You say, I feel clean. No, wait a minute. That's risky. I need to be able to anchor the feeling of being clean spiritually in the word of God. I need to be able to point to the Bible and say, this is how come I feel clean. It's because this gives that testimony, right? Sin is to the soul what dirt is to the body. The only way to clean the soul is by going to the book and finding out how to appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ to my own soul. Since you purified your souls, watch it, here we are, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I was able to purify my soul by obeying the truth. That doesn't mean I earned it, but it does mean that I appropriated the blood to my own soul. I reached out and accessed it by obeying the gospel. Number seven, I'm saved by the word. I'm saved by it. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. There's the Bible. The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's so important. And I mean, just contrast that with some religious ideas that wait for the Holy Spirit to come and pop you. I don't mean to make fun, but that's the idea, that the Holy Spirit is somehow going to come and infuse you. And that's when you'll know that you're saved. That's how you're saved. Well, that's not what this says. This says the implanted word, that it's implanted in my soul because I study it. And when I do, I conform myself to Jesus Christ and his will, and I obey him, and my soul is saved. Eight, I grow by it. It is by the word that I grow. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How you doing on that? How you doing on that? Ezra has recently, my grandson has recently turned 2. Ezra wants to grow something awful. And what I enjoy watching in particular, we take him to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, someplace like, he loves that. He doesn't care about the food. In fact, eating is a chore for him. He doesn't like to eat because he's too busy. But what he likes is the playground. And he plays one way when there's nobody else there, and he always has fun. And you know, he'll talk to you and you talk back to him and we giggle and play. But if there are older children there, it changes him. Not in a bad way, but I mean, he'll climb higher. If there's a child there that's a year older than he, he'll go up higher. He'll take more risks to be like those children. I need to be like that. I need to want to grow spiritually. Now, how are you going to do that? And the answer is that you grow by the Word of God. How am I doing with my Bible knowledge? If I'm neglecting my Bible knowledge, I can tell you something right now. I'm not growing because this says that's how I grow. All right, number 9, turn on the light. I turn on the light with the Word of God. Now, perhaps you remember this. Here's the psalmist. Your word, 119 verse 105. I learned this when I was a child. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Drop down to verse 30, or the next verse. What is the next one? The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I want to turn the light on. I want to know where I'm walking. Now, if you want to not worry about eternity, if you want to not worry about going to heaven instead of hell, then just don't worry about the light. Leave the light off. It won't matter. It just won't. But if you're interested in eternity and heaven, and you believe there's a life beyond this one, and a heaven and a hell, then you need to have the light turned on. Now, the light is the Word of God, and it's a lamp unto my feet, light unto my pathway. Here's number 10. It gives me wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:14, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. That is true about our children too, isn't it? It's true about our children. There's a reason why we spend so much time, you parents spend so much time putting the Word of God in the hearts of your children. It's because of what was said here. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Are you and I wise? Are we wise to salvation? Makes us rather unique in the world, I think. And the way that we get that is because or by the Word. Here's number 11. I become partaker of the divine nature. This one is so profound. It is, got to pause on this one. This one's deep. The very idea that these words could even be used in reference to my God, that I could be partaker of His nature, is rather breathtaking. But 2 Peter 1:4 says this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, it's through the Word, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That is, I don't live in the world anymore. Maybe one time I did, maybe deep involved in the sinfulness of the world. But listen, I repented of that. I changed my life. I'm not going to live like that anymore. And now I'm following Jesus Christ. And it says that when I do that, and I do it by the Word, that's how I learned to do it, that I become a partaker of the divine nature. The Greek word means, for partaker, it means one who shares. We share in that. And it just means that my character is conformed to Him. That the longer I study His Word and practice the things in it, the more I come to think like God. I think in the way of the values that He has. It's very much, it seems to me, like Hebrews chapter 12. Remember about verse 9, you have fathers of your flesh, your dads, which corrected you, and when we gave them reverence, for they chastened us after their pleasure. But he says God's different. He chastens us for our profit, that we might be, and here it is, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Wow. That's rather remarkable. God disciplines His children. And there's a whole litany of ways that's true. And he's comparing God to our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers, if they were good dads, they disciplined us. And God disciplines His children in a number of different ways. But He always gets it right. Now, our dads may not have. And sometimes, I mean, it says they disciplined us after their pleasure. That is, they did what they believed was right. And we appreciate that. They may not have always gotten it right. But God has no such weakness. And God, for our profit, that we can be partakers of His holiness. So that is to say that you and I, by studying the Word, can become partakers of His holiness, or partakers, sharers in the divine nature. That's profound. All right, here's the last one. and it's one of my favorites. I'm fitted for glory. The King James made reference to this, and I'm gonna go in just a moment after I finish this one, but I want to go to Colossians chapter 1, made reference to this and used the word meet. That's Old English. We don't use it anymore. M-E-E-T. It's the same word that's used in reference to Eve, when God created Eve, who is a help meet for Adam. And it meant, in Old English term, it meant perfectly suited for. When I hold that thought, Acts 20:32 says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified." The inheritance, Christian, is heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that. If you're a faithful Christian, you have an inheritance coming to you because you're part of the family of God. And that inheritance is heaven. And this says that by his word, you're built up. And the idea is you become more and more mature. You're being changed and fitted for that inheritance. Now, look at Colossians 1 and verse 12. Now, this is the passage that used the word in the Old King James, used the word meet. He said that he made us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. The inheritance is heaven. And he made us meet for it. And what that means is that he formed us, he fitted us, he changed us as we lived and matured in his word. He changed us to make us fit for heaven. How do you like that? Giving thanks to the Father, this is New King James, who has qualified us. I kind of like the word meet better, but nobody understands it, so this has to do. But qualified us means the same kind of thing, that he builds us up, he prepares us, or he has fitted us for the inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." There it is. See, we're being made fit for the inheritance. "To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." That's our inheritance. Did you ever inherit anything? I have a few things in my house that I've inherited from my grandfather or my grandmother. None of those are for sale. They're precious to me because of where I got them. Well, I inherited them because I'm part of that family. That's the nature of families, isn't it? Well, so it is with Christ. Look, if you're part of the body of Christ, you became that because of studying the Word. When you go to the New Testament, the book of Acts, we've been talking about that in Kids Sing tonight, conversion examples. I can tell you this. Go ahead and search it. But nobody ever became a New Testament Christian without the Word. Nobody did. They had to study the Word. They had to hear the Word and understand it and believe it and practice it in order to become Christians. And once we do, we continue to study. And what's happening is that we're being fitted for heaven. We're being made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul loved Timothy very much. He was like-minded. And Paul said, "Look, I want you to preach the word." Now, why should he do that? Because by the word, I'm born. I'm made alive. I have faith. I've been converted. I'm sanctified. I'm cleaned. I'm saved. I grow by it. The light comes on. I have spiritual wisdom. I'm fitted for heaven by the word. You and I are about to launch into a new year. So, your house is on fire. You have time to go in and get one thing. I hope that if your wife's in there, you'll get her, but because I can get you another Bible. But the point I want to make to you is this. You ought to treasure your Bible. Love the Bible. Make sure you're a student of the Bible. What if this year, and Paul's going to launch a new study guide for the coming year, the new year, and it'll be great. What if you individually, independent of other people though, said this year I'm going to learn a particular book of the Bible? What if you chose a book that you found particularly appealing And you just said, divide it out into 12 months, and this year, I'm gonna learn this book. I'm going to study in a real way, not just a cursory reading, but I'm gonna study every verse of this book. And when you get to the end of the year, just imagine what you will have that you didn't have before. I'm telling you, the power is in the Word. It's in the Word. Let's be students of the book. Is there somebody here tonight who's ready to obey the gospel? Maybe you have been studying. I know what it says. It's just time to obey it. Repent of your sins and confess Him that you believe He's God's Son and be baptized tonight to have your sins washed away. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Maybe you need the prayers. Maybe you need to be restored tonight. Let the Word motivate you and move you and make you better.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.